talking this morning with Sean Manning, editor of Top of the Order, a collection of 25 writers picking their favorite baseball players of all time. We're glad Sean has some time to talk with us. Hi, Sean.
How are you?
Good, good, thank you. So congratulations on the book.
Thanks so much.
How did you go about the task of assembling all these writers?
Well, you know, I've done a couple of these anthologies before, so basically I just picked people and went to people that I was really fans of their work and that I had known, in the case of some of the novelists and musicians and so forth, I'd known that they had had a love for some connection to the game.
Now, this is a pretty eclectic group. It's not just sports writers.
No. My thought was that I wanted to get people who were at most passionate about the game, you know, and some voices that maybe you wouldn't expect to see. So that you have, a musician, you know, the rock singer, the Hold Steady, Craig Finn, and comedian Michael Ian Black, and film critic Kerry Rickey, and you know, but I think they all share a similar love for the game that it is pretty infectious throughout.
Was there anyone you invited who declined to participate?
No, actually, that was, it was, I'll tell you a funny story, is that I originally had Sam Walker, who wrote the great book, Fantasyland, the fantasy baseball book, Wall Street Journal writer, and he had picked David Ortiz, and when the scandal broke about the PEDs for Ortiz, he decided he couldn't do it, because it had kind of changed his perspective of Ortiz, so that was about the only thing that fell through for me, But I got Seth Mookin to step in and write a great Pedro Martinez essay. So at least we got that Red Sox era team covered in that respect.
So these people were pretty much given free rein to write whatever they wanted. There were no limitations on what they could do?
Yeah, I just told them to just have fun with it. In the case of Mookin, he does this cool thing where he does these kind of little interludes where he gives these crazy anecdotes about Pedro in the dugout or off the field doing interviews, and then intersplices that with, you know, recap of his magical seasons there in 1999-2000. So any form they wanted to take, they could just take it and run with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised nobody gave a haiku. That seems to be the popular.
I was expecting that from Robert Whiting doing the essay on the Yutaki Inatsu, but he didn't weave that in there.
Mm-hmm. Now I just want to give the listeners a chance to get an idea of who some of these contributors are. You have Pat Jordan, the former ball player. You have Jonathan Eig, who's written a couple of books on Jackie Robinson, and Lou Gehrig, and has
right.
just come out with a book on Al Capone now. Buzz Bissinger from Friday Night Lights, Jim Boughton, Scott Rabe. Roger Kahn, how did you get Roger Kahn in on this? He seems like other generational for the rest of the group.
Well, I thought it was important to try and include, you know, trying to span the generation. And I thought that, you know, I am such a huge fan of Boys of Summer. I really think it's a beyond the baseball book. For me, that just touches on so many themes. I just think the way he did that is just so masterful. And so I'm just a huge fan of his. So I just reach out. And the great thing about this is, you know, everybody's got a website nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally just, you know, got in touch with his agent through his website, and he was, you know, kind enough to agree to do it. And I think his, you know, it's one of those things where you think, oh, you know, do we need another essay on Jackie Robinson? But I really love what he did because, you know, it's, you just have, you know, we've built him up into this, some sort of this deity, and he really was just a man. And I think Roger, I mean, he's a very noble, and you know what he did was incredible. But I think Roger does a great job with his essay and kind of giving you more of a sense of who he was as a person, you know, with all his foibles and so forth. And I really love that essay.
So aside from Jackie Robinson, who's obviously a superstar and a Hall of Famer, the players in this book run the gamut from Jackie Robinson to Nephi Perez,
right.
Tony Horton, who people of this generation probably have never heard of.
Right.
You also have Craig Whiting. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the table of contents now. Robert Whiting, sorry,
right.
who specializes in Japanese baseball, writing about
right.
a Japanese player, and you even have a couple of fictional characters in here.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, we got Crash Davis, you know, Kerry Rickey wrote about Crash Davis, who she loves. But I think and that was, again, my idea of doing this was that there are all of these players that that we grew up with or that we were fans of for these really bizarre reasons, you know, whether it related to, Matt Taibbi's great piece on Jim Rice, where, you know, part of the reason that he loved him so much is because he got picked on in grade school and middle school, and then he always imagined Jim Rice coming on the bus and throwing these guys out the window. And, you know, so that was what attached him to Jim Rice. And, you know, a guy like Tony Horton, who most people don't know, but the fact that this guy did have a career and he did have an impact on somebody's life, I just thought it was important to, you know, in addition to the Lou Gehrig's and Jackie Robinson's, to kind of people have connections to these other different players who have maybe kind of fallen into the margins throughout time.
Now, your own choice is someone who never made it to the majors, Michael Jordan.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of weird because I was, you know, as I say in the essay, originally my favorite's always been Tony Gwynn, but he's just, you know, as an incredible hitter as he is, he's just kind of a boring personality. and I just thought, you know, does anybody really want to read an essay on Tony Gwynn besides the fact that I was always in love with his, I don't know if you remember, he did these great solo hitter commercials. He had this crazy hitting contraption in like the early 90s, where it was like this almost like a Bowflex that had a ball on a string. But I was always obsessed with those commercials and tried to build one in my basement. But you know, you can't really get 2,000 words out of that. So I was like, you know, what's one player that I thought would be interesting to read about, you know, and Jordan kind of initially popped in my mind. And at the time when I was working on it, I'm from Northeastern Ohio, and the Cavs had just lost to the Orlando Magic. So that was just, he was just on my mind about how he had always knocked him out of the playoffs when I was growing up. And so I just kind of started writing it, and I realized, you know, I had lost my mother a couple of years before this, and it just got me really thinking about his experience with losing his father, and it was something that I never really appreciated. And so it was nice to kind of be able to go and kind of research that a little bit and explore the treatment that he received, which I still don't understand, because he just got vilified for that decision. Mm-hmm. And especially after everything that he had given to basketball, that he wasn't allowed to kind of take this diversionary, you know, little sabbatical, you know, seemed bizarre to me. But yeah, it is a weird choice, but hopefully I did it justice.
Now, other than yours, we'll exclude yours, do you have a favorite in this collection?
Oh, I love them all. I mean, I do love Scott Rabb's Tony Horton piece, because, you know, he is from Cleveland, and I think he really, beyond the I think it's a fantastic story, and he I think he is really one of the underrated sports writers. I mean, he's you know, a regular writer for Esquire, and he does some great stuff for them, but he is just fantastic, and I think that he really captures, like, what it is. I think he, you know, cribs the Malamud line, you know, what being a Cleveland fan is to suffer, and to suffer is being a Cleveland fan. I mean, he really nails it. So I think that, for me, is a standout piece. But, I love all of them. I love Buzz Bissinger's Albert Pujols piece, because I think he really talked a lot about Pujols the man, which were things that I didn't really realize. I think there's a lot of pieces like that where I just didn't, which I think are good. They give you an idea of who these guys are as people, in addition to as ball players, and you know, I think some of them are a lot more complex than maybe you'd initially think.
Now, as editor of all these compositions, what was your role?
So basically, I queried all these people and got them, you know, to commit to writing a piece, and then they submitted them, and I basically kind of worked with them editing a little bit and gave them my suggestions, but I totally deferred to them, basically, and they had free rein. And you know, there's a couple people like King Kaufman, who wrote the Nephi Perez piece, who is an editor himself. So a lot of these people, I didn't really have to work too hard. It made it pretty easy on me. And just at the end of the day, just kind of took them and compiled them into the order that they're in the book. And you know, I got to choose all the contributors, which is a lot of fun. I that's why I love doing these books, is because I'm working on a fourth one now, and unrelated to baseball, but it makes me feel like a GM in a sense. You know, I'm going out and acquiring all this talent, and then also kind of a manager, and you know, assembling the order and who fits where, and so it's a lot of fun.
Now, you mentioned assembling the order. What is the rationale behind the order here?
I don't know if there is necessarily. I think it just feels organic to me. You know, I think obviously you know, I had to start out with Ricky Henderson leading off. That just seemed to make some sort of poetic sense.
Okay.
And also ending the book with Mariano Rivera.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so that as long as I had those two guys in place, I think everything else, trying to make sure that, you know, you didn't have necessarily one pitcher after the other, or, you know, you could kind of go in and out of different eras. I think that hopefully it strikes a nice balance.
Now, without naming names, unless you want to, was there anything that came across your desk that you said, no, this can't go in?
No, not at all. I didn't experience it. Like, you mean in terms of like libelous stuff or anything like that?
Just the stuff that might have painted somebody in a really awkward light. For example.
No, I don't think so. I think all the pieces actually. You know, that the whole idea is like being, you know, of a favorite player. I mean, I think, you know, the one maybe exception to that is Whitney Pasternak writes about Roger Clemens.
That's what I was thinking of.
Right, and her relationship with him. It's a difficult relationship because she grew up really kind of idolizing this guy, and then everything that's happened, and I think it's everything that she writes about isn't anything necessarily that hasn't been said, or I admire her for saying it as kind of forthrightly as she did. You know, she doesn't mince words, mm-hmm. but I think it does. I think it's something that a lot of people are wrestling with, this idea of their relationship to this game in light of the whole PED steroid thing, and I think it's something that, to at least acknowledge it, I think was important to at least have one essay in there that does that in a very matter-of-fact way.
I think one of the interesting things in this year's batch of baseball books is that in light of the recent PED scandals, there are books coming out about Hank Aaron, Willie Mays,
right.
Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris, all who were sluggers and, except for Maris, Hall of Famers in like the baby boomer generation. So this is
right.
Like a nostalgic thing, trying to, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we could go back to those days?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, and initially that was kind of my idea behind the book was, you know, let's do something positive now instead, you know, this, all this stuff. But you know, when you start getting these pieces in there, it was interesting because, you know, you get a piece on Pedro Martinez, you know, who, you know, you don't know, but he's of that era. You know, and you get a piece on Pujols, and, you know, Bissinger acknowledges, like, you know, there's all this talk that still swirls about him. You know, the better that he gets, the more talk there is. And so I think it was refreshing to see that there's a lot of players from that generation represented as well that, you know, I don't know how you can't still not root for these guys, even in light of all that stuff. I think it's a really, I don't know, it's a complex question, but I think it's one that, some of those books, you know, the Willie Mays and things like that, I don't know if they, it's too black and white of a, you know, I feel like they don't really tackle that question of what it means to be a fan in this era, because you can't go back, you just can't. So now it's about how do you reconcile what's happened with the future of the game, because it's not going to stop. I mean, you know, obviously technology and science are just going to get, there are going to be more and more advancements, and people are going to, you know, do more and more, I mean, it's just the nature, so I don't know how you got to find some way to kind of be a fan in this modern era.
I'm looking forward to Will Leach's new book, which is...
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting. Yeah,
I don't know much
about it. It's about his relationship with his father, right?
I don't know, but just judging by the title, are we winning Fathers and Sons in Baseball's New Golden Age or something like that?
Right,
you know,
right.
Just,
yeah,
it seems
he'll
address,
you know,
those issues.
Yeah, and he's another one that he's not one to shy away from tackling those kind of pertinent things that everybody's dealing with. So I think it's an exciting time to be a fan, and, you know, and it's a little weird too, because as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, with the economy and things like that. I mean, a perfect example is here in New York with the Mets, mm-hmm. and some of the moves that they did or didn't make this offseason, and you know, the fans' reaction to that. It'll be interesting. I think this year is going to be a real litmus test as far as where things go economically and, you know, ticket prices and all that sort of thing, what expectations are. But, I don't know. I think it's going to be a real fun year.
Oh, good. Hope so. All right, we've been talking with Sean Manning, editor of Top of the Order, 25 Writers Pick Their Favorite Baseball Players of All Time by DeCapo Press. Is there a website for this book specifically?
No, but you can go to the DeCapo Press website, and they have all the information and ordering information as well.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, Sean.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.